You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible.
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
I started writing jokes about how people always thought that I was gay before I knew. I was telling those jokes on stage. I was like, isn't it funny how everybody literally thinks I'm gay and they're like, what? You have a husband? And I just was like, I think it was this subconscious cry for help that was happening.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Dyking out!
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that will never be made into a lesbian film because we are out of the closet and have access to electricity. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali.
And today we are dyking out with comedian Kara Connors about gay immersion. Kara has been in the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, and perhaps some of you have seen her on Dating, hashtag no filter on E. Is it hashtag no filter or just Dating no filter? Or both.
I think it's technically both. I feel like they named it that way to try to be social media savvy. I'm not really sure.
Great marketing. All right. Dating, hashtag no filter on E. Thanks for being here, Kara.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kara.
How's it going? What rage level are you at right now?
We're really off the charts at this point. Honestly, I've just been sweating and pacing around my apartment all morning. So here we are in the middle of a heat wave. Just can't stop, won't stop.
How is anybody getting through the days right now? It truly seems like we're in a dystopian nightmare. Every day in a new...
We'll say horror.
Yeah, horror.
It's so bad.
It's not even it's new things, but it's new old things. Mm. And it's why is this life right now?
Yeah. I am just really waiting for the that Handmaid's Tale moment of just our bank accounts being shut down. Not that I have any amount of money that would be significant to anyone, but for me,
I think a lot of people are hoping that their bank accounts get shut down and be like, I swear I was a millionaire.
Right.
My debts are forgiven.
Yeah. When teachers ask you what your grade was.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I made $1 million podcasting.
I had to stop watching Handmaid's Tale because I was just this is getting too
Same.
Real. I didn't make it through the most recent season.
Me neither.
I dropped off.
I can't.
Oh, for sure.
No.
It's too real.
But if you tuned into the convention at all yesterday, you got I thought I was watching a parody, and it's not. It's not a parody. It's actually just full propaganda. Here we are.
That woman. I've smelled abortion. I have smelled it. Did you know abortion has a smell? I didn't watch. I got snippets. I can't.
I didn't even see that one.
I didn't even watch the Democratic in full. But
yeah, I mostly just saw the screaming lady who I didn't realize was Gavin Newsom's ex-wife, which is just shows bad judgment isn't claimed by just one party.
Oh.
It's Anybody can have terrible judgment.
A good palate cleanser, though, is I was watching like a TikTok of like a 17-year-old super gay like kid reading the lyrics to WAP to like at this guy who was reading Bible verses who was like outside of an abortion clinic. It was so beautiful. Like he was just reading it like poetry, which it is. So if you need a it moment is. Of reprieve.
It really is. Wait, there's an English teacher. There's a viral TikTok of an English teacher who's like, when you're an English teacher listening to WAP, and she's like, there's one line and she's pointing to like a simile, a this, a that, like it's just every literary probably term that she teaches in her school year was just like exhibited in like not even half a verse.
It's beautiful.
So it's English teacher approved.
There you go.
It's honestly the best thing that's happened to this country in the month of August at this point. I can't think of anything that's had a more positive impact on.
Certainly. I mean, even the hit that it took to my self-esteem when I was like, can every hot woman just drop into the splits at a moment's notice? But I mean, beyond that, proud of you guys. I certainly can't.
Yes, never done a split in my life.
No.
Just can't touch my toes. It's great. It's probably why I'm gay. All right.
All right. Well, Carolyn, I mean, you made a reference to it in your little intro.
My little intro. Thank you for letting me have my little intros, Melody. Thank you for humoring me.
So cute. Have you done this every episode? No, your intro. Sorry.
Yeah, speaking of gay.
What? Wait, how do you even pronounce? We're talking about the movie.
Ammonite.
Okay.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
I have.
I've been looking forward to this for years.
Okay, obviously I'm going to watch it, but it's just like, I don't know. In some ways, I don't know if my heart can take another movie where I have to wait 2.5 hours for a kiss. And like, why do we always bring the lesbians to the sea? Like, is that the cure for everything?
Just had this. I mean, yes. We literally just had a period lesbian drama.
It just happened.
That was where one woman helps another sullen woman by taking her walks on a European shoreline.
I don't understand. Like,
oh right. My God.
I even think like half of the trailer is Portrait of a Lady on Fire clips.
It is.
We wouldn't know.
Yeah, right? This is the same shoreline.
The top comment on the trailer on YouTube is Portrait of a Lady Bird on Fire. And it's like, yeah, pretty
that
much.
Is accurate. Yeah.
Wow, that's the best YouTube comment I've ever heard. The rest of
I know,
them are
they're
trash.
Usually horrifying, but...
But that's the only thing. I'm like, I just... Can we have like a little bit... I mean... I don't know. I don't feel like it's an accurate portrayal. Like, women move much faster than this. Like, they're just digging fossils and they're standing
right
by the sea. I don't get it. It's just, but we can't critique. It feels like you can't critique it because we're just so desperate for anything.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
But it is, like, literally archaic. Like, it was like, like Portrait of a Lady on Fire, but make it archaeology. I can't.
It's directed by a man. So that gives me.
That part.
Very little faith.
Lots of confidence, yeah.
Yeah, I was excited by the casting, even though I shouldn't be, because neither of them are out, at least, as queer, maybe in their private lives. Who knows? I'm not here to judge. But one interesting tidbit that I just read in Autostraddle, well, it was in The Hollywood Reporter, was that Kate Winslet and Saoirse Ronan choreographed the most explicit sex scene themselves.
Oh.
So they were like, don't worry, we got this. Because I think the male director was a little bit nervous. So I just want to read this. Saoirse and I choreographed the scene ourselves, Winslet explains, of the most explicit one. It's definitely not like eating a sandwich.
Oh!
Common misconception.
Exactly.
I know you all think doing lesbian sex is like eating a sandwich. It is not. She goes on to say, I just think Saoirse and I, we just felt really safe. Francis was naturally very nervous. And I just said to him, listen, let us work it out. And we did. We'll start here. We'll do this with the kissing, boobs, you go down there. Then when you do this, then you climb up here. I mean, we marked out the beats of the scene so that we were anchored in something that just supported the narrative. I felt the proudest I've ever felt doing a love scene on Ammonite, and I felt by far the least self-conscious. I mean, it's almost describing half of the lesbian sex I've had. Like, okay, are you cool with this next thing? Are you good? What do you want? It's all choreography, so...
Is this okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of hot. That description was just, like, filled with consent and vulnerability, and I'm into it.
Right. So that gave me a little bit of hope after watching the trailer.
Yeah.
And then also that Saoirse's character is... married to a man, so it's always like there has to be either a husband or like they're promised to be married, or there's like pressure for them to find someone. Just a lot of nobody seems to be as excited about it now that it's out. I think when it was first announced, it was at a time where we were like, ooh, this is going to be sexy and great. And then, like, Gentleman Jack came out, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, Dickinson on Apple, and it's like, okay, we're good. We're good with...
It's just like, damn, can we move on? Like,
can we have women who are allowed to vote, at least? Let's just move.
It is possible to portray that time period. We are allowed to do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll see it opening night, and I can't.
I will risk getting COVID again to see.
Absolutely.
See it in theaters. Why not? With all the other elderly couples who will be in the theater, because that's a demographic of every time I go to a lesbian movie. It's like... me, four other lesbians, and then all old people.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, when we went to see it.
To see Portrait, yeah, it was like old men coughing the whole time. That's probably how I got COVID.
Oh my
honestly,
God.
It was around that time.
I know. Melody and I were both like sweating nervous. Every time this guy coughed, we're like, what is happening?
Oh my God.
Oh,
but
man.
We'll be fine. We just won't touch our faces, and that's all we know. It's March 10th.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I also read that Kate McKinnon is going to be playing Carol Baskin in a limited series of Tiger King,
which is queer culture.
Yeah.
Okay, that is the most exciting news I've heard in a while. That's huge.
Except they cast the gay actor to play like the straightest role, because Carol Baskin did have multiple husbands, but then she also maybe murdered one of them, and that's gay. So
right.
I guess we could say Carol Baskin is officially queer for murdering her husband. We'll allow it.
She sounds feisty. Did you see this, like, In the last couple of days, she said she wanted to slap Chloe Fineman for her SNL impression of her. Not pleased.
Carol Baskin, she's just been popping off ever since. She's just trying to stay in that limelight. She's all up on Cameo.
Is she on Cameo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, I was lurking on you before we got on, and you're on Cameo,
You're on Cameo,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. a very niche market, I think, but I think the person who finally responded, because I was just like, I need to get in on this. I mean, if Carol Baskin can just be on there, like, come on. So,
yeah,
right.
I was like emailing them, and then finally this one woman responded and was like, I'm a feminist and a Taurus too. And I was like, hell yes, bitch, let's do this. Finally.
Ooh, you're a Taurus. This is going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
Capricorns and Taurus get along very well.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Oh, they do. Yeah, one of my closest friends, I have two very close Caps in my life, and they really keep me honest, and I appreciate the hell out of that.
Nice. When's your birthday? We don't have to leave this in the recording.
No. it's...
What's your social?
I'm
mom's maiden name.
I'm happy to, I love talking about it. April 23rd.
Mm-hmm. I just have to ask, because I'm so bad at astrology that I have no concept of when Taurus birthdays are. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a few days after like Aries cusp kind of, but I'm an Aries moon. So there it is.
I went my whole life thinking my dad was a Taurus and his birthday's at the end of February. So that was wrong. I still don't even know what that is. What's end of February, guys?
I don't know.
Pisces? Yeah.
Oh, Pisces. All right.
Does that check out?
Sure.
Oh, man.
Do Capricorns not speak to Pisces?
I don't know about Capricorns.
Unless it's a dire situation.
I don't know about Capricorns. I know that I won't date a Pisces.
too emotional.
I won't date my dad either.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad we're all on the same page about that.
Kara, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
I think it's hard to choose, but I'm going to go with the fact that I bought a car this week, which is... Arguably not gay, but...
But wait, is it a gay kind and can I guess?
Yes, please do, and yes.
Okay. Did you buy a Honda Fit?
I absolutely did! Yeah! Wait, it gets worse. It gets so much worse. Are you ready? Okay, I bought a Honda Fit. And the woman I just started dating also has a Honda Fit. So here we are.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Well, it's not even
is that the new
worth
suits?
Sharing what we did.
I don't know anything about cars.
Well, I feel like it's the more economical Subaru is the Honda Fit.
Oh, it's real economical. That is absolutely what the number one reason was.
And you can fit a lot of shit in it.
Yeah, it has a magic seat is what it's called. So you can really just load her up.
Confession, I'm going to a Honda dealership tomorrow to try to buy a Honda Fit. Are you serious?
I'm ending
that's
the call.
My plan.
I'm ending this call right now.
Yeah, that's been our show. That is enough.
That's it. I'm done. I'm done. I'm called out like that. It's just too much.
I've been looking at Honda Fits all yesterday and all the day trying to find a good used one.
Oh my God. What the hell?
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to pull them up on Google Images.
I showed it to Cecilia and she actually thought it was a van. And I'm like, no, it's not a van. It just kind of looks vanish, but it's a car.
No, that's what we're doing over here. Yeah. Our old Dodge Caravan.
Yeah.
Which feels like a queer car. We have a very butch car.
I think that is super butch to have.
It's
Dodge
like a 2007.
What color is
free
it?
Free car.
What color?
At one point it was white.
It's just see-through now.
It is filthy. Oh,
I think having a Dodge Caravan when you don't have kids is queer culture.
Yes.
Like that's what makes it gay.
That's what we're doing.
when you have a cat but no kids.
Yeah.
I mean, we drove, that's my gayest thing. We drove our cat to the vet in the Dodge Caravan, and when they're not letting anyone in for because of coronavirus, we have to drop our pet off and everyone has to wait outside, and we dropped our cat off, we're just so nervous, and then we look in our reflection and we see Allie's wearing like a big rainbow like North Carolina pride type of shirt, and I'm wearing a huge trans rights shirt, and we're both wearing bike shorts and Birkenstocks. Just caught our reflection. Or no, we're holding our kennel with our cat in it.
Oh my God. Well, yeah.
That's pretty gay too. That's pretty
gay
too.
That is pretty gay.
The fact that that's just pretty gay on the scale of what we're talking about is so scary.
Well, I don't want to bring up, every week I bring up my gayest thing of the week is that I went to Jacob Riis Beach, which is the queer beach here. It's like the only thing I leave my apartment to do, so I wanted to change it up a bit. But I did tell Carolyn, I saw Alexander Wang, gay fashion icon, at the queer year. Just the way you shook your head.
I'm sorry.
Is actually...
That's
the gayest
actually very
thing
gay.
That's happened
yeah,
to me
that's very gay.
This week. The way this lesbian just shook her head at me when I brought up fashion. I count that, actually.
As I'm sitting in my apartment with my WNBA jersey on, just fucking chilling. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you got the email about what we make our guests wear to dyke out with us.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
You guys
God.
Were like, pronouns, and please wear your most recent WNBA jersey that you have.
Wait, I just reconnected with my college freshman roommate, and she brought this up. I don't remember. I've buried all the memories from that year, but she said that at one point, she's like, I'll never forget you coming out with your white skirt, like ruffly skirt, and a basketball jersey asking if this works.
And the answer? Yeah. It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Was it a skirt?
Probably. That would make it primal. But I really think it was like when I was still my relics of like trying to be super femme. Like one of the, remember like layers of ruffles? Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Just throw on some Chacos and you're just ready to go, baby.
Oh my God. Carolyn?
Yeah.
Were you gay this week?
No, not really. I ate beef jerky for lunch one day, and that's not a euphemism. So I don't know. Is that gay? I was on the Keith and the Girl podcast, and I talked a lot about being gay because I'm not often on podcasts that are hosted by a straight man. It's hosted by Keith and Hemda, who was on the podcast recently, and I felt like I just had to be like extra gay to counter his cis energy. Great guy. Mm. But absolutely. Yeah, I really tried to dyke it up on there as much as I could.
It's really important to have that type of representation as often as possible. I also went to a gay beach this weekend, like a gay nude beach in San Diego. And there were a lot of seemingly straight couples there, and it was really important to me that when I was walking down the beach, just like full pussy out but wearing a baseball cap, that's how I chose to represent.
Wait, you can go bottomless? The queer beach here is just topless.
Oh no, it was full and it was beautiful, and I think it's my new favorite place to go.
Maybe. Wait, what's that? I can hear Melody looking up flight prices right now.
Literally, come. You can sit in the magic seat in my Honda Fit, and I will take you.
Gayest week of my life.
Get some vitamin D on that bush.
That's right, baby.
I've really worked my way up to toplessness, and so I'm ready to go there. Yeah. I was like a shorts and Speedo gay until recently. But actually, on Monday when I was at Reese Beach, I finally, like, I went topless. I was laying out and I fell asleep in the sun. I woke up and there was a drone hovering over me.
Oh.
So oh maybe back to the Speedos. That was alarming.
Was it an NYPD drone? Well, there's a lot of those.
I know. No,
those helicopters were there monitoring the beach. They do that.
Yeah, there's helicopters here. There's just constant mm-hmm. background noise of that. So
yeah,
damn.
So whatever.
I know. At this point, it's like we're all being recorded at all times. I mean, that's my assumption. Right. I'm like, I'm gonna enjoy my day. I can't.
They got to keep tabs on who wants justice.
That's right. That's right. You know,
just using all the resources to track everybody that's pro fairness and treating people like humans.
That's right. Better make sure we don't put those dollars towards anything else.
Right. Yeah, we need those zip ties. So is that new?
I need those zip ties for my Honda Fit. Oh man, Kara, you I think might be like the gayest guest we've had so far, just based on like the past. This all has been like super super gay, and I'm just very impressed. So
that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
You got plants in the background.
And wait,
you got your WNBA jersey on. What team do you have?
Do you see what's in that frame right there?
It's blurry to me.
I know. But I was trying to make it out before.
It's obviously King Princess, and it's signed.
Oh my God! Good. Oh my God! I was gonna be like, wait, is that Whitney Houston? That's how much I can't see it. No. Well, I was gonna say I'm glad I didn't say it, but I did just say it. It's King Princess. A lot of listeners write in asking us to get her on the pod. It's like, yeah, I mean, would
Hook
love
us up.
To.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Do you have the in?
I don't. I mean, okay. I know that you already gave me the title of the gayest person, but just to take it a step further, I made a King Princess like 1950 parody music video with my ex-girlfriend. And we've tagged the shit out of her in it over and over, and she's never responded. But we saw that Quinn saw the story, so we're like, come on!
Wow. Don't you hate that?
I know! Throw me a freaking bone here!
I feel like I should just mail you this gay champion of the week.
Yeah, you can hold on to that.
Yeah, I think you get to keep it forever. I just don't think we can top your level of unabashed gayness. So expect that. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. You're Canadian.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Well, I'm both. I grew up here, but I went to grad school in Canada, which is where I realized that I was gay, and then moved to LA like 2 years ago. So I got dual citizenship like right before Trump got elected. So
wow. So you're newly great. Canadian. Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's why I was like reading all these Canadian things on your bio. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that she was Canadian, because again, I feel like I know every gay Canadian comedian at this point. So I was like, oh, I didn't know.
Just snuck right in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where in Canada?
Toronto.
Were you? Okay, cool. A lot of Persians there.
There are a lot of Persians there.
Yeah. I told my parents if we have to flee, we're going there.
That's a good call.
Yeah. I don't know much about it. I know it's like the little people compare it to Chicago a lot. So I also feel very comfortable moving there.
Yeah.
I lived in Chicago. Love it.
I think that's accurate. That's where I grew up in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. So I think that's accurate. It's kind of like, it's just, I mean, it's obviously not perfect, but I love Toronto so much. That's definitely, it's like a beautiful, progressive little gay slice of heaven.
And you came back here?
I know. That was my next question.
I came here because of my goddamn dreams and aspirations, just trying to, and then here we are just locked down.
Right. Yeah.
Under a regime. So that worked out well.
Truly, I have friends in Chicago comics who are still planning on moving here soon. And it's like, why? No. Like, I know it's a natural progression, but why would you do that now?
I would hold off a few months. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones moving to LA, I'm like, okay, like at least there's good weather and it's already socially distanced, like by the nature of LA. But New York, don't move here right now.
No. I mean, I wouldn't suggest anyone moves to the States right now. I think it's mostly the opposite is what people are looking into. But I don't put that. I do feel like that's probably my biggest selling point, like on a dating profile, but I like don't list it. I'm like, I don't have a 401k or like, you know, anything like that, but I have the citizenship. That's like what I can offer.
We could scoot.
I'm sure a lot of people are into that. I'm sure that's a selling point.
Yeah. I mean, like in Canada, the government health system covers IVF for gay couples. Like it's crazy.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you also get a year of paid maternity leave.
Yep.
Melody, are you packing a box right now? What's going on over there?
See this pen? I'm writing a to-do.
That's why my wife and I, we almost moved to Toronto a couple years ago. And we like told the whole family, because we're both Canadian. And we're like, all right, we're moving to Toronto. We were looking at places, applying to jobs. And then for various reasons, decided not to, but it really was like the lure of the IVF and the maternity leave and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, this just, and Trump. And I'm like, this seems like a great place.
Why would it is. Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic. And especially now I do question it more and more. I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
So you were in grad school there, and that's when you realized that you were a gay.
It's true. Yeah, that's when a lot of things really went down. And that's...
Were you wearing WNBA jerseys before this realization? Was it like you were the last to know type thing?
Were you pairing them with a skirt? Were you full-blown jersey and mesh shorts? Were you...
Paint a picture.
I was absolutely the last to know. I mean, I was basically Sporty Spice like my whole life and had no idea, just super...
She has no idea either. She's still straight.
Yeah.
I mean, I meant like in terms of just being full tomboy, like obsessed with sports, but yes. I had absolutely no idea. Just, you know, just click-clacking along, really just out there living my straightest, best life. Got married to a man, still didn't know, was just really deep in the sunken place.
He knew, though, going into it?
I don't think so.
Did you meet, like, an undergrad or something?
No, I mean, I was an undergrad, but he wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I was in Canada. I mean, I think it was a combination of a lot of things. Like, my grad program was sort of very, like, just liberal. And then I started doing comedy and, like, every single person, you know, was gay. And I started, like, writing jokes about how people always thought that I was gay before I knew. Like, I was telling those jokes on stage. I was like, isn't it funny how, like, everybody, like, literally thinks I'm gay? And they're like, what? You have a husband? And I just was like, I think it was, like, this subconscious, like, cry for help that was happening. Like, yeah.
There's a New York comic who is very much, I believe, at least pre-pandemic, still doing that act. And then we're like, just waiting.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And then, like, of course, then once I finally realized it, obviously a lot of things shifted in my life, and 0% of my friends were surprised in literally any capacity. So here we are.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
How was that wedding?
So straight, so unbelievably, shockingly straight, like mason jars, like don't choose a side, we're all together, written on a chalkboard, like first looks, matching bridesmaids' dresses, just the whole nine. I mean, I wore a birdcage veil. I don't know what else to say.
Wow.
I don't even know what that, it just, does it go over your face? Is that what birdcage?
The birdcage, it's the more like old fashioned one, right? It's kind of like 1950s style. Is that? Yeah.
I just have to look.
Oh, God. So trauma is real. And yeah.
So how long were you guys married?
Just under 3 years. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's a great guy. I feel bad. I don't know. I just didn't know. You know, we all are just doing out here doing our best.
Is that what ended it? Was realizing that, yeah.
That pretty much did us in, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, that'll do it. We're just like, we got to have a serious talk.
How many times did he ask, are you sure?
I honestly, like, he was so, like, beautifully supportive and, you know, it was, I think about it now, like, just that conversation, I reflect on it sometimes, and I don't even know how I kind of did it, because it was, like, as soon as I knew, I just had this, I just was like, well, I have to tell him. Like, it was just, he at least deserves to sort of know the truth, and I just remember, like, God, I don't even know. Yeah, I just was like, I didn't know, I never cheated on you, I'm sorry. And it was, I don't know, it was horrible. But,
Do you know what made you realize?
I do, yeah.
Was it, can we guess, like, we guessed what your car?
Yeah, please do. Please guess, yeah, please do.
I mean, the L word, I was gonna, but that's just so common.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if it was something like that.
It wasn't
just,
the
like,
L word, no.
Some media.
Nope.
No. Hmm. A real life person?
Yeah.
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 A friend?
Yeah, I think
who was also gay?
Yes.
And you're like, that feels like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was this, like, also a more, like, not butch, just not feminine lesbian?
No, feminine. She was feminine.
Or queer. Okay, yeah. Cool.
And from the day I met her, she was like, you're a dyke. And I was like, I'm literally married. She's like, I said what I said, bitch.
Wait, as someone who has been through this then, like, what advice would you give to somebody who has a friend or see someone who's, like, clearly gay, they don't know it, and they're engaged to a man? I've been in this situation where I met somebody and my friends were like, oh, you have to meet her. And I thought they were saying that because she was clearly a lesbian, and they're like, oh, Carolyn, tell her about your podcast and stuff. And then later in the conversation, she's talking about her wedding planning with her male fiance. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, did nobody tell her?
Yeah. Maybe she was bi.
I know.
I asked after the fact. I was like, oh, is she bi? But it was, the energy was, you know, yeah it was fit driving, WNBA jersey wearing, captain
of the
softball
team. It is an energy
team
that will just make you realize your whole truth. And it seems like that's what happened to you. And I don't know how to articulate it, but
yeah,
it's definitely a thing.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's, I don't know. I don't know what to say, because I think that it's so tough and there's obviously just, like, so many dynamics that could be at play. Like, no one said anything to me, like, when I was, like, engaged or anything like that. I definitely, like, got bullied a little bit in college, but I, like, had no awareness of it and was just like, that's irrelevant. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. But because I just was so out of it, I don't know. Like, what's the end game? It's like, you're going to tell somebody that, who are you telling? Is your friend the person about to marry the person that you're pretty sure is gay? Or is your friend the one that you're pretty sure is gay? Because it's so complicated, right? Like, imagine.
Once I told my friend that a guy that she was dating, I'm like, I think he's gay. And then I wasn't invited to the wedding.
I have a similar
experience. I think
experience.
That's why.
Yeah. Of
they're
like,
divorced now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so there you are.
I don't know if he's gay or not. But then after that, I was like, you know, next time, just mind your own business. People have to figure out these things for themselves. You don't want to put that on people. And, you know, everything's like a learning process, and you don't, like, I've been divorced too, but it's like, I'm not like, oh, I regret ever getting married or something, because it's like, well, I'm happy where I am now, so I don't want to regret anything. And I don't know what would have happened had someone been like, don't do it. I might have just had one less friend.
Yeah. You know? No, I feel the same, because I think, like, if you're telling somebody that, like, you have no idea how they're going to react. And, like, it's tough, though. It's like, I'd probably rather stay friends with them and, like, let them know if you can. Like, holding space for you if you ever want to talk about anything. Like, I don't know. It's tough. Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So then once that happen and you talk to him and you separated, then what's the training program you went through to be gay?
Okay, so...
You got your onboarding document.
Right. So
what is gay onboarding?
So I immediately got an undercut. That was just my truth.
Me too. I'm not kidding. It's like one of the first things I did.
It's page three.
I love it.
For me, it was immediately getting an undercut and then entering a year and a half long intense serious relationship with a lesbian. That was really what I chose to do. Which was, I've just like gone in kind of reverse. I like went from like marriage to a man to like extremely serious relationship with a woman. We moved to LA together, then broke up. And then the last like year and a half, I've just been on this like very intense rumspringa where I've just been so out of control in every capacity and just so sloppy and the web is just like this tight spindle and it's like just dating and fucking every woman that really it's been a lot. That so now I'm like coming out of that.
So for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with the term rumspringa, that's when you're Amish and you're 15, I think, and you get to go out into the real world and leave your Amish community for I think a year, and then you get to do whatever you want during that year and then decide whether you want to return to your your community, just in case people are confused by that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, that's sort of been it. I've just really have entered into every type of possible relationship dynamic and been with every type of woman and really just out here exploring and, you know, just getting to know myself. And I've learned a lot.
Like what?
So much. Spell. Oh my God.
I love it. Exactly what I went through. And I did want to call this episode Gay Rumspringa, but Carolyn did point out this could be offensive. Okay. And now I'm being, but then it's like, how's it going to get back to the Amish? Whatever. Can cut that out.
I did. You're getting canceled by the Amish. Cool. Melody.
That's how I seek thrill, is just seeing what I could get away with on this very podcast. But I totally went through that and just fucked everybody and was just like, I'm exploring.
Yeah,
figuring it out. And everyone's like, you should also be safe and, you know,
right,
be more aware of your choices and
it wasn't,
surroundings.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it was the sex part, but it's like, it was also like, in some ways, I think I would have come out like, probably, I don't know. I definitely don't feel unscathed from the experience. I think that, like, if it was just sex, but of course it wasn't just sex. It was just like a series of like 2 month long, like intense relationships. And then it'd be like a break and then have sex with a bunch of people. And then like another relationship and now we're poly. And then there's another one. And then like, I was like, you know, going back and forth between LA and Toronto. And I'm like, I'm going to date 3 women in Toronto and I'm going to date like 9 ex-girlfriends in LA. And I'm going to be with every woman because they're all so beautiful and I don't want to choose. And I'm just going to torture my heart and just really go hard.
And now we're poly. And then there's another one. I love that. So. You said you're coming out of it now. Is that because there's a global pandemic or?
No, I mean, literally the pandemic, it's like, at this point, I don't know what could slow me down. Like, that's how it felt. I'm like, okay, like checking in with myself. I'm like, is this going to do it? Like, is this enough for you? Like, there's a global pandemic. Like, do you want to maybe chill out? Maybe take some it's like, nope, life is short. We out here.
So you caused coronavirus. That was like the universe.
No.
Being like, we need something to stop her.
No. I was right before corona hit. I was in one of my in between single moments. And then I started like, started seeing this woman who, she's not looking at my Instagram stories anymore, but she absolutely will listen to this episode. So I'm just choosing my words carefully.
The way you went almost, like, she thinks someone's going to hear this.
So right before the pandemic hit, like, I started talking to this woman. She slid into my DMs. She flew from New York to LA. We met. We went on a few dates. The world shut down, and we're like, well, guess we're doing this. So I was safe with COVID in that respect because I was shacked up for a few months. And then that has since ended. So,
man, yeah. What was that like?
I know. I want to know.
Just basically everything you did, I'm like, what was that like?
I don't want to expose this person, but I do want to know everything.
Did it just feel like being in a new relationship anyway? Like, and right. Like any other lesbian relationship, it's like, yeah, we're at the same place all the time now.
Yeah. I mean, it did in a lot of respects, but I mean, you know, like when everything like first happened, it was like overnight. I just like lost all of my jobs. I was like, what the hell is going on? My roommate at the time, who is also super gay, like got on a plane, left to Chicago to be with her like long distance girlfriend. I'm like in West Hollywood. Like it was really just the rainbow flag. Like that is what my life is. But it didn't feel that different in some ways, but there was obviously just this air of like, you know, I try to be pretty aware and have been in therapy for 1,000 years, but I'm like, I don't know how this can't be trauma bonding. Like we are literally,
yeah,
we don't even know what's going to happen. Like the world is just shut down and we're like, we don't want to be alone, you know? And I do think that that's like valid, but it was very like, I was very consciously aware from the beginning, like this is its own thing. This is like not normal. Like this is not how we should be operating.
It's hard to know with anything right now, like why you're making a decision. Mm-hmm. Like, did you panic buy that Honda Fit or did you?
Absolutely.
Carolyn's talking to herself right now. Just because literally last time I talked to you, you're like, it would be a very poor choice to buy a car right now.
I did. I know. No. But then you're like, I need to get out. I know this is temporary, but I need a way to exit because the world is chaos and I feel trapped.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
But I could imagine, like, even if it was a relationship and it was like the right relationship and everything, just those circumstances would doom it for anybody because who wouldn't feel trapped no matter how much they were enjoying what was going on, or who wouldn't feel like uncertain or a little bit, unsure of like what is this really?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly am in general just grateful for everyone in my life right now and for these past few months because like I'm operating under everyone gets a huge benefit of the doubt. Like we're all just doing our best. Like it's why like there's just everything is crazy and wrong and terrible, and so yeah, I think there has to be a big sort of like grain of salt with everything going on. Like we're all, this is not, you know, no one is like doing their absolute best right now.
And that's except for Sarah Cooper.
That's right.
The only person doing their best.
Thriving. Well, I'm glad you got to have your Rumspringa ahead of the pandemic.
Thank you so much.
And your gay immersion. Sounds like you got a lot of like good physical relationships out of it.
Yes.
How else were you immersing yourself within the culture? Did you like, why do I keep bringing up the L word? I don't know.
Because
it's dyking out.
Yeah. That's what everybody like, does.
Did you like watch a lot of like queer movies or TV shows? Did you like, what did you do?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely caught up on some backlogs, but then there was a lot of stuff that, like, I already was doing that, you know.
Yeah, actually. It's like, I just continue to show up to the pickup game of basketball.
Literally. So, yeah, I mean, I think I definitely... You know, I'm really an experiential learner, and that's something that, so, you know, every relationship or situation that I was in really did kind of teach me a lot, and I was very fully immersed, I think, in pretty much every capacity, which is really nice.
Did you become aware of any blind spots that you had about lesbian culture? Were you like, oh, my cousin's having a gender reveal, do you want to come with me? And they were like, time out. Like, anything like that?
Oh, God. I mean, I think I'm still, like, constantly unlearning things. Like, that just internalized, just, it runs really deep. And, I mean, yeah, it does. It really runs really deep. It's been just so interesting, because obviously just like having this kind of lens and like looking back on all these different things and being like, wow, not even just like, how did I not know? But I mean, I've also realized that I have a bunch of friends that I had in high school and even when I was a kid that are now also gay. And a big thing is like, yeah. I honestly just feel like I like grieve that a little bit. Like, I wish that we would have both known, and then we could have kind of like been there for each other, and maybe like, even if we weren't
scissored.
Open. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where I was going.
I'm so rude. I'm sorry.
That does sound lovely. Also sounds Gen Z.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Super, you know? Gen Z, just out here eating ass and all over TikTok.
Yeah.
I am Gen Z.
Just, you know, eyebrow slits and just swagger.
I mean,
the amount of swagger these TikTok lesbians have blows my mind.
It's unreal. Like, I don't even know what I would have done had that been around, like, when I was in high school, but I absolutely know that I would have been that. Like, there's no, like, I can just tap into that in such a scary, easy way. I get upset. Like, I can literally just kind of, like, my body, like, I can just, like, move into that space, and it's something I have to, like, really be aware of. Like, I have to, like, keep it in check. Like, I can definitely enter, like, a swaggy lesbian fuckboy TikTok vibe, like, with zero effort, so.
Do you think they're like this in person, or if it's just, like, okay.
And I'm obsessed with them.
Because this is the world they're growing up in. Yeah.
And I am here to, like, make their lives as easy as possible in any way I can. I love it.
I really love it. I love it to a weird degree where I'm like, okay, am I a creep? Like, they're 20. Like,
I know, I'm just
interested.
I know. But I'm just like, it does. I mean, there's nothing that makes me happier than seeing like a dyke in public. So just seeing like a series of, like a 21-year-old from Iowa who's just out here like being loud, and it really just makes me endlessly happy for that. Like,
That doesn't go away.
No.
Like, seeing a dyke in public and being excited too. I still,
it gets stronger.
In New York City, nudge my girlfriend. I'm like, look, two of us.
Oh,
you know, it's like a whole.
Every time without fail.
But I find lately I've been really wrong. Like, I don't know if my gaydar is broken, but
also a part of living in a city.
Multiple times, mother daughters I've mistaken for queer couples. The moms look really young. Uh-huh. They're walking and they're holding hands, even though the daughter is an adult.
Yeah.
And I was doing a comedy show, and this, what I thought was a couple, was hanging out by me and my wife. And I was like, oh, I wonder if they're dyking out listeners. Mm-hmm. And they came and they were like laughing really hard at my set. And then afterwards she was like, I love going to comedy shows with my mom here. We thought you were great. I was like, what? Huh?
I mean,
I really thought you were going to say you did crowd work on them. Like, how long you two have been together?
No, no, I'm not that bold.
I mean, I'm so anytime, I feel extreme confidence that I know anytime I see someone, I'm just like, oh, there, and like point at them and get excited.
Yeah.
And then like, gawking. I'll be with people and they're like, you shouldn't say, and it's like, okay, she has a blue mullet. Like, let's just relax. Like, she's, I feel pretty confident. And it's a compliment. So if she's not, it's a compliment. So there you go.
Yeah. I could be fully walking, holding my girlfriend's hand, still feel like I need to make it more obvious and like change my posture or something. Like, quick, cut my hair.
I tweeted about this the other day that I got excited because I was out in the country and went into this coffee shop and I thought the person working there was this like huge dyke because she was just like yelling when she talked and just had a lot of dyke energy. And I'm like, oh, cool. This like country dyke has her coffee shop. But then it just turned out that she was like a libertarian who's like into QAnon.
Oh, my God.
And told us that she's on a secret IRS task force. And then,
well, QAnon lesbians apparently are a thing. We did recently hear from
you.
That's true. Too many of our listeners are into QAnon, yeah. And there's two of them that we know of.
Yeah.
too many. Man. Yeah. Anyway, gay immersion. So have you watched The L Word? I feel like you haven't really fessed up to it yet.
Sorry. Okay, yes. I have not watched... I have not watched all of it. I saw, like, maybe the first two seasons, and then I watched, like, the new season, probably, like, the first half of it. I don't know what my problem is, because I like to complain about how there's...
Good taste?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that your problem? Is good taste.
High standards?
Okay, good. I feel really affirmed and validated. Thank you for that.
Is this why Alicia Haley won't like respond to my emails? To come on the podcast. She's like, fuck you.
Yeah. You can't have it both ways.
It's worth it. It's worth dunking on The L Word.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like I have, you know, enough that I can kind of be with it, kind of converse on it, but I haven't done a deep dive, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. I feel like that's the reason that most people, like, that's the only reason to watch it now, so that you know what a Shane reference is,
right,
or a Dana reference,
right,
or a Jenny Schechter, most importantly. And without that, it could really make for some bad dates.
100%. I mean, I
feel like... Yes. Have you ever had somebody like fixate on the fact that you haven't seen the whole thing? I feel like, yeah, you get a lot of like, you haven't watched it. It's like,
yeah.
No.
I mean, I loved Work in Progress. I devoured that in like a day and a half.
Yes.
I was like,
so good.
Damn.
As you should.
Oh, yeah. So that, you know, had the Showtime login from an ex-girlfriend that I'm still friends with, went ahead and jumped through that. We're out here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it would be like to watch it all now. It's really bad. I have a friend who recently came out as bi and, like, is very type A, too. And I think she thinks, like, it's, like, homework. Like, she has to watch it
right.
all. And she's just powering through. And, wow, that is a big undertaking.
It is a big undertaking. Absolutely.
So what have you learned, I guess, from all of this in terms of like where are you now? What are you looking for relationship wise? You know, were you into the poly thing? Is everything a question mark? Because every life is fluid as a queer person.
I mean, everything is definitely fluid. I think that I'm definitely like at the place where I have like realized like, okay, I am actually ready to engage in and enter into like the kind of relationship that I do sort of ultimately want. Like I am like, I'm ready for that big love. Like I'm ready for a partner. I'm looking for like emotional availability, common interests, et cetera. So now I'm like very honed in on that, which has been like a good but big shift, certainly. I think that I mean, like, in terms of what, you know, we had kind of chatted about with, like, the gay immersion, I do think I've recognized a pattern within myself where I was like, you know, it's that thing of like, I keep ending up with this type of person. Like, it's so weird. And it's like, well, obviously I'm attracting that and like putting that out. But I did have like a real, I've had a real run of being with women who have like recently come out and like recently are leaving either like a marriage to a man, an engagement to a man, or like just getting divorced from a man, or like have never been with a woman. And like, I definitely had like a real stretch of that. And it took me a while to, I think it took like 5 times of it happening for me to be like, this is a pattern.
Yeah.
And yeah, just like try, I think like I've realized like maybe it was me trying to sort of like heal my own shit, because I'm like, I want to like be the person to them that I would, you know, whatever. Like, I want to like be so good to them and let them know that they're, and I do feel that way. And like, you know, that they're valid, and like, I'll be the gentle person that's like going to reassure you that it's going to be okay. And like, I think that's all great, but I think it left me just in the position of like, that's not ultimately probably going to be what's going to be sustainable for me, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're focused on meeting someone else's needs and not really worrying about what you need.
Yes. 100%. And so like, yeah, giving someone else kind of a great experience, but like knowing not because I think I can tell like where someone's at, but from them literally saying to my face where they're at, like knowing like, it's not going to be like, you're going to come out of that and then you're going to date me and then all of us, and then you're going to be fulfilled. Like, you need a lot of, I think when you're just coming, you know, you need a lot of space to figure out what you're doing.
With the women who were still married to men, where were you meeting them or finding them?
I mean, on dating apps, pretty much, or Instagram, similar. Yeah. One woman that I met, she was visiting LA, lived in New York, super beautiful Taurus. And we just like met on an app and like had some drinks and like went home together. And then, but I knew she was at that time was still married to a guy, and they had like opened up their relationship. And so it was super just like very casual, nothing. But we like, you know, stayed in touch, and like, I go to New York a couple of times a year. And so we would like sort of see each other, and then now they have since separated, and we're just like friendly. So yeah, I mean, all kinds of places. I met one of them at a comedy show where I talked on stage about how awkward I am dating, and then she was somehow surprised when she started talking to me how awkward I was, which is always shocking.
But at least you like laid it all out.
Yeah.
That's great to have someone, like, especially if you're comedy, which a lot of comics are, like, self-deprecating, and you're just like, you know, here are my flaws, and then someone's still interested.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of nice.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'd rather lay it all out there for sure. But yeah, so that was another place where I met someone who was getting divorced from a man.
I actually thought there was a girl in Chicago who I thought liked me. I was on a show and she messaged the show and was like, who is that girl who was like talking about how she just got undercuts? Because I got out of a relationship with a guy and got undercuts. She contacted me. She's like, can I take you out for dinner? She started going to my shows. I was like, oh my God, she really likes me and she thinks I'm really funny. And then like after 3 times of meeting was like, so I really want to start comedy. Can you give me advice? And it was so the straightest.
I can't. That's shocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's a hate crime. That's...
I know.
I will say this.
So now I'm wary of people who come up. Well, I'm not single anymore, but then I was just like, I cannot talk to anyone after that.
Yeah, I want something.
Straight women are shockingly, I'm going to generalize here. Straight women are shockingly unaware of how gay their behavior is.
Yes.
When they're engaging with openly gay women. And it's like they are just, I don't know. I don't know how it happens.
She literally slid in my DMs and asked if she could buy me tacos, if you want to go out for tacos.
Okay.
Come on.
Come on. And then you're like gaslit because you're like, wait, this isn't a date? Like, I don't understand. Oh, no, yeah. I'm straight. Oh, okay.
Cool.
Great. I love making friends that way. It's
yeah.
So it sounds like you're completely immersed in gayness. You finished your gay immersion.
I aspire to be as gay as you are, actually.
Oh, I was just going to say, as expert gays, do you have any questions for me or Melody?
Yeah, I mean, what else can I be doing to really, like, step it up?
I would say, you know, make sure you always have a softball glove and a ball to toss around in the back of that Honda Fit.
Check. I mean,
do you wear hats?
Every day. Every single day.
Really? Oh, yeah. On the beach. Nothing but a hat.
That's right. That's right.
How many times have you watched Portrait of a Lady on Fire?
Twice.
All right. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's
not
bad. Yeah. Yeah. If it was once, I was going to be like, all right, I'm going to let you go now.
You're already into astrology.
Love astrology.
Any signs you want to talk shit about while you have the chance?
Absolutely.
Thousands of people who might be that sign.
No, you know what? That's a lesson that I've learned because I would talk about that on stage two. I would just say, if you are a Pisces, leave me alone. You have destroyed my life. Three strikes, you're out. Get away from me. And all that does is get the Pisces to just come up to him and afterwards and just be like, oh, really? Oh, really? You know, that's all it does. It's like Pisces bait is then they just come and talk to you. So I've like learned I should do like reverse psychology. Like I wouldn't want like a super sensual grounded earth sign to come and talk to me, you know, like, who also values a clean and tidy home.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Love it. Well, your Scantron just came out. You passed with flying colors.
Oh, my God.
No, thank you so much for talking to us about your experience and your gay immersion. Yeah. And this
well,
has
keep
been
us posted.
Oh, I
so
will.
Much fun.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Do you want to stick around for our listener question?
All right. Let's do it.
All right. Melody, who needs our help this week?
Let's see. Okay. My fiance and I are a lesbian couple out in Dallas. We're moving to the suburbs and are trying to prepare ourselves for the dreaded, so have you dated men before line of questioning that straight men seem to love. Has anyone figured out a polite and not awkward way to decline answering this? Normally, I'd respond very bluntly because I'm too old for that shit. But these are going to be neighbors we have to live next to for years. We're hoping we can be seen as the same as every other couple and not sexualized because we're two women building a life together. I mean, my favorite retort is always, have you?
Yes.
That's the go-to.
And then if you're worried about it being awkward, just laugh a little bit after that and then they won't know what to do with it.
Right. It works every time.
It will soften it for the straights if you laugh and they think it was a joke and not letting them know how dumb their question was.
Oh, God.
I think humor is important. So as long as you make it seem light, like, is that something you ask all your new neighbors? You can be sarcastic. You know, if they ask you if you've dated men, be like, yes, all of them. And that's why I'm dating women now. It just didn't work out.
You know?
But what if your timing isn't good? What if you're not a comedian, you know?
Then you just say, have you? Yeah.
Yeah. That one's easy enough. Feel free to use it.
I mean, I think I would just have that, like, one of my favorite, like, TikTok audios right now just pulled up where it's just like, thank you for your question and your curiosity. Keep asking questions. Keep being curious. Like that, you know, that one. I think I would just have that one pulled up and like memorize the lip sync of it. Cause that one kills me every time. Like, doesn't matter what dumb joke it is. Every time I just die laughing.
It applies yeah. to everything.
Keep being curious. Keep asking questions. Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, that's what I would do.
Yeah, me too now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that this person even feels like they have to ask that question because they already are anticipating that they're going to be put in that situation. And it's just so ridiculous and infuriating. And so, yeah, I think you just have to be able to try to point out the absurdity to someone that probably has no idea at all, which is
yeah,
shocking.
It really sucks that they have to. I mean, moving is one of life's biggest stressors, and you're also on top of all of that, like mentally preparing for this inevitable conversation. Mm-hmm. That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially in Texas, even though there are blue pockets in Texas, it's like, you know, there it's a 50-50 chance that you're going to get somebody who's going to be weird about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
even liberal people are weird about it.
Yes.
It's not just conservatives. There are tons of liberal people who ask you weird questions once they find out that you don't have the same interlocking genitals as them and their spouse.
But liberal people are more likely to be like, I get it. Like, listen, like, I have a cousin and he loves musical theater. And I just want to let you know I am an ally. And you're like, can you relax?
Yeah.
What is your problem? Have you ever been outside? Like, I don't understand. Like, how do you get to work? Like, how do you function in the world? It's shocking.
I feel like in Texas, you'd get like, oh, that's great. My church has a group for people like you. Like,
yes.
Like, thanks.
Cool. Or you can, I mean, sorry to sound like one of the TikTokers again, but you could also do the thing where there's like, I've seen a lot of the, I mean, who knows if it's real, but I have to believe that it is, like setting up kind of like a fake GoFundMe that you're trying to raise money to go to conversion therapy and then letting your conservative neighbors like make donations and then just buy matching Honda Fits and just park them in your driveway.
Yes. Important. Yeah. So yeah, wait it out and see just how conservative your neighbors are.
Mm-hmm. Maybe say, I don't see gender when they ask.
And just let them slowly back away because they know they won't even be able to engage in a conversation without sounding so stupid.
Yeah.
Damn.
What a tired conversation.
I know.
I'm so glad for me it got a lot better the older I got. After 23, I would say, men stopped asking me how I had sex. And that was a big relief.
Oh my God.
I hope next time I move, my new neighbors don't ask me how I have sex. That'd be worse.
I can't even.
My girlfriend's brother got drunk this last Christmas and asked that.
Oh.
It's not even just like, how do lesbians? It's like, how do you two, my sister, like. Absolutely ridiculous.
On the birthday of our Lord and Savior.
Yeah. How dare you?
Wow. Well, thank you for writing in, listener. If you have any questions, you can email us dykingout@gmail.com. Kara, where can people find you on social media, on TikToks, everywhere?
I'm much more of a lurker on TikTok. I would say Instagram is probably your best bet. On Instagram, Kara Khan's comedy, baby.
Your Instagram is so funny.
Thank you. It's just like all thirst traps and 90 Day Fiancé. That's it.
I wanted to talk about the 90 Day Fiancé hits. I'll have to come back, update us on the immersion. We'll talk about 90 Day Fiancé.
We can talk about it in our exclusive Patreon content that we'll be putting up. So
there you go.
We'll get to that in just a minute. And then you can follow us, everybody, at Dyking Out on all social media handles and our empty TikTok at Dyking Out Pod. You can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
You can follow me at Melody Kamali.
And thank you for dyking out with us this week. Be kind to one another.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.